Hello and welcome to Secondhand Film Critics, your favorite source for mildly pretentious, semi-uneducated, and highly unqualified opinions on movies. I'm Kayla, and I am here with my co-host,
Noah. I was being a cheerleader for you.
I gathered that. That was very nice. Thank you.
Yes. Go team. T-E-A-M.
Team. I feel like we need a cheer.
S-E-C-O-N-D. H-A-N-D.
No, you did it wrong. It would gotta be like, damn, you're a musician and everything.
F-I-L-M-S.
No, it would gotta be like S-C-C. O N D
C R
H A N N D. What's that spell? Second hand? Because we're not the best. Woohoo! I feel like that would be like, that's not really our vibe though. I feel like a more appropriate cheer would be like, I don't know. I was trying to think of something stupid. Like, it would be like, we have 20 plays.
What
thank you to the 20 people who listen to our show.
Thank you. Thank you to the 20 people that listen. 19 people.
19, sorry. We got 19 plays.
A little over, get a little over ahead of yourself there. My eighth grade, I think I was in eighth grade when I was playing basketball, or either seventh grade or eighth grade. But they did like, one school had like, quote unquote cheerleaders doing like different cheers.
Sure.
But they were like, it was in the gym and they didn't use mats and they were doing like flips and one girl like just fell, like they didn't catch her and she fell on the gym floor and like they had to like carry her off. So
that's horrible.
I was like, man, tough.
Yeah,
time.
We had, when I was in college, there was a cheer team, unfortunately, and we didn't have a football team. Because we weren't a big enough school for that. So they would come to our soccer games, and it was miserable because we would get killed by, like, 15 goals. And, like, we would lose by, like, 15 goals. And they would just be, like, cheering, and it was so embarrassing. It was, like, it was horrible.
Go, you're our man. If you can't do it, no one can. Well, no one can do it, so...
Yeah, I wish I could remember the cheers, but none of us wanted them there. We were like, this is so embarrassing.
Wow. Anyway, moving in to our content for the episode, let's quick get to, before we dive into our cinema swap here, we always like to start our episodes by talking about last week's question of the week.
Yeah.
Which kind of got some good answers for that. Our question of the week we asked in our last episode was, what is a movie that is saved by its musical score? Because we talked about Hook, which has a great score for a not so great movie, in our opinion.
Yeah, so definitely. Let's... A score that elevates the movie to the next level.
Yes, definitely. It feels like it should be attached to like a better movie.
Yes.
Let's go. We'll go back because you have three on Spotify.
I do.
And I have three on Instagram. So we can go back and forth here,
perfect.
I think, in a fun back and forth thing.
Great. Yeah. Do you want me to go first?
I said that twice. Sure. Yeah.
Michael said Revenge of the Sith.
Another John Williams one. Yeah, you know, he can always
I think that's fair, because we've talked about that is one that we don't like as much. I feel like I get them mixed up.
I like Revenge of Sith.
I get them mixed up, but I think that was one that
the whole,
like,
prequels though
was a
like,
little
he helps
bit,
the whole prequels.
Yeah.
And like the, I feel like a lot of, I mean, you remember the people remember like the Duel of the Fates fight scene.
Yeah, I mean,
for
that's like talked about
the first one
so much.
And even like the in the Revenge of the Sith in the battle, like in the lava, I feel like the music is more prominent in that scene than like the action for me. Like it's more driven by the music.
Yeah, I think that's a good one.
Yeah, that is a good one.
I mean, without the music, that movie would definitely not be nearly as good.
Yeah. Oh no, like I would say even like some of the like 4, 5, and 6 would not be as good without the music.
Oh,
like,
totally.
All those movies, the music helps. All right, we have Zach Smith here. He said, I can't think of a real answer, so The Passion of the Christ, but Instagram doesn't let, like, I think it was one character off, even though he used a period, so he probably could have got in there, but he wrote The Passion of the Chris, which sounds like it'd be a really funny parody.
Good, I was gonna say that could be a good SNL skit,
like Life of Brian kind of thing.
Yeah, Passion of the Chris.
Is that like and it's like a 50 Shades of Grey kind of thing.
It's like the Battle of the Chrises, like that always is happening, but it's the Passion of the Chris. And it's like, and then the people are in the crowd, you know, when they're like in the Bible, they're like, Barabbas, release Chris, Barabbas. Chris, but they're all Chris. Yelling Chris. And then Keenan is like, which Chris? It's like, which Chris do we crucify?
Which Chris do you want? And Chris of Nebraska or Chris of Idaho? Yeah, it's like Hunger Games, but every state sends one Chris to the Hunger Games. Reaped from all the Chrises. I don't remember anything about the music from Passion of the Christ, so I don't know if I can comment.
Yeah,
what do we have on Spotify?
Joe, our good friend Joe Miller, said, the Cider House rules, and then he said in parentheses, maybe. So
I haven't seen the Cider House Rules.
I feel like I don't know that I've seen it. I'm familiar with
Tobey Maguire, right? And
yes,
an old guy. I forget
yes.
which old guy.
You know, I think that I have seen, here is how I've seen parts of this movie. I was flying on a plane and someone watched it next to me. Someone may have been my father. I don't actually remember, but
Yeah, I don't know. Sounds like it could be a good answer, though. I have no idea. We have Jamie Kirsten Howard said, Hairspray, the 2000s version. So that's, I think, the one with Zac Efron, right?
Okay. I think that movie's a banger. So
I never saw it. So, man.
You haven't seen Hairspray?
I'm not doing very good on some of these. No.
I have not seen Hairspray. Wow. We should do... That could be a childhood classics even for me.
I feel like for that one, though, it's like... It's hard to say that for musicals because, like, obviously the musical is going to elevate... The music in a musical is going to elevate the movie because it's, like, the whole point of the movie, you know? So, like, I think that's... I mean, but maybe what she's saying is, like, it's not a very good adaptation, but she likes the way they do the music
sure.
in it. So it's, like,
I disagree.
It.
I think it's a great adaptation.
10 out of 10. 10 out of 10 Hairspray bottles.
Yeah. Okay. Noah Hewitt said, and let me tell you, you're going to need to prepare yourself for this one.
Oh, no.
Back to the Future.
This is a bad take.
I'll take.
It's a truly one of the worst I could maybe think of.
Genuinely... Like, the worst.
like not that the score is bad. Like
no,
the score,
the score
is, awesome,
is great, and
but
so
it
is
doesn't
the soundtrack.
Save the movie.
No,
like, the question
the movie
was, what
fucking
it,
rocks. I don't like, know this guy Noah.
What are you? Sorry. I am ashamed to have the same first name.
But he did also say that Home on the Range is a good cow movie. Remember when we brought up cow movies?
Oh,
that is
right.
One that we had not thought
my
about,
first
which is funny because that's the first movie you saw in the
my
theaters.
First movie. Man.
Yeah, sorry.
Letting down the Home on the Range crew.
Noah, but that is an unfortunate take because we're big Back to the Future fans.
Yeah.
Five-star movie right there.
Maybe you could say, like, the third one, even though I still think the third one's good, but, like, the
yeah.
third one maybe, like, the score might... But he didn't say the third one. He said
no,
Back
he
to
said
the Future.
Back to the Future.
So, we're taking it at face value. And then lastly, Purnell over here said Babylon, which is another bad take because
you like
man,
that
these
movie.
Are just some, these are some bad, these, we,
it
these
is
are bad
good,
answers.
It is a good score though.
The score, no, the score is incredible, but I don't think the score saves the movie. I think the movie was fine without the score. Like I think that the question as I am understanding it is the movie is not great, but the score helps elevate the movie.
Yeah, it makes it
yes.
better.
So, and maybe that is what he's, because I know Babylon is pretty people love it or hate it kind of thing, so he probably was thinking that. We haven't even talked about Babylon on the podcast yet, but
no, I haven't had a chance to see it.
What a movie. The movies are back. Nicole Kidman is in the theater and I am right there with her.
And Timothée Chalamet is on Apple TV.
And Timothée Chalamet is waiting to get an Apple TV show with Jason Momoa.
I hope that's like a tease that there is going to be a Timmy.
Oh, there has to be. Like, they would not have made that trailer. No one probably knows what we're talking about. We're talking about the Apple TV Plus trailer.
Everyone knows what we're talking about. It's been all over everything.
But do they, like, I feel like everyone in film Twitter would know.
No, because,
but, like,
you know what? My dad has been watching football all day, and I have seen this trailer probably five times.
That's interesting. So they're really pushing it then.
Yes. It's on, like, it's mainstream. Like, it's been on, like, the football channel, whatever channel that is. Big Ten Network.
ESPN.
No, that's
the, one of the...
Big Ten. Is Big Ten college or NFL? I think it's Big Ten. Shit. No.
Big Ten.
Yeah, I've seen it a few times, because every time it comes up, I'm like... because I love him.
Yeah, but let's hope, fingers crossed, that Babylon can sneak into Best Picture. That would be...
I think it will.
That would be an iconic moment for me, and it will be one of the best times of my life. Let's look into our cinema swap. So this is a format we have definitely stolen from other podcasts, where we take a movie that... You give me a movie.
We came up with it ourselves.
We came up with a name, which I think we have the best name I've ever
Cinema
seen.
Swap.
With, like,
yes.
The alliteration. Well, no, it's alliteration,
it's
right? Cinema Swap.
Yeah, the
Cinema Swap.
That's alliteration.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Right. Because it's not the same letter, but it's the same sound.
Yeah, it's the same sound.
Yeah, Cinema Swap. So you give me a movie I haven't seen, and I give you a movie you haven't seen. And we talk about both of them and do, like, mini reviews. So not, like, super in-depth that we might do if, like, we are fully reviewing one of them.
Uh-huh.
But we kind of give our thoughts on, like, what we thought about them first watching them. And usually it's ones that we think, like, the other person will like. Or, like, we're interested to see what their reaction is to it. So this one, we went a little off the beaten path. Well, usually we try to have... I kind of realized that halfway through where I was like, man, usually we try to have, like, one bigger one. But, you know...
Yeah, well, they're both comedies, which I feel like helps. Like, we've tried to do kind of similar theme, or, like, tried to do things that are fit well together. I mean, these movies aren't similar by any means, but they are both comedies.
So hey, they both have a lot of either gay undertones or gay overtones.
True, yeah.
You know, I do think we can draw a lot of parallels.
Some homoerotic subtext and text, so...
But I feel like... one of them is very cult classic. Like, I feel like a lot of people might know that one. And the Odd Couple, I feel like people would know just the name, and maybe they don't know the exact movie, but they might know it from the sitcom,
the TV show,
or
it was a major film in 1968. But obviously,
one of my favorite years of living.
Where were you
in 1968, Kayla? What were you doing in
68? I was floating in the
abyss of nothing.
Space. I don't know.
I had just seen Persona last year, and I was really looking forward to the rest of the films of Ingmar Bergman after seeing Persona in 1967, and also listening to Sgt. Pepper's. I was looking forward to the Beatles' White Album. In 1968,
what
that was my main thing.
And you were looking forward to the next year being
1969. What? So let's get right into... We're jumping, though, to 1999 with our first movie here.
Okay.
But I'm a Cheerleader. So this is the movie that I had you watch.
Yes.
And it was in your watch list.
It was.
And
it was also one
that you... Yeah, you can say. Yeah.
Yeah, so I made a list of movies that I'm watching in 2023 that are, like... There are 16 movies that are, like, big movies that I have put off watching for a long time.
I gotta do this, too.
This was on that list of movies that's, like, you know, it's, like... I've taken so long to see this. Why would I watch it now? You know what I mean?
Or it's, like, when people... The ones that people are, like... Have you seen this? They're like, oh no, I've like meaning to watch it, but like those ones where it's like,
yeah, like ones
you
really have been meaning to watch, but you just don't do it. And so it's one that I put on that list, and it's the first one I have knocked off of the list in 2023. So
congratulations, one down.
Thank you for giving me the motivation to do it.
Yeah, I didn't even know that till you said it when I picked it.
Yes, yep, it was on my list.
Do you want to read the synopsis here that I got straight from Google?
Yeah.
Let's see how it goes.
I would love to. Megan considers herself a typical... is this about Megan, the doll? Megan?
Megan? What?
Second Megan
is this
a, movie.
Is this a prequel?
Is this a prequel to Megan? It could be. It could be.
That'd be pretty funny.
Megan considers herself a typical American girl.
Doll.
She I was about to say. I was about to make an American girl doll joke, too. it's taken so long to get past this first sentence.
I know.
She excels in school and cheerleading, and she has a handsome football-playing boyfriend, even though she isn't that crazy about him. So she's stunned when her parents decide she's gay and send her to True Directions, a boot camp meant to alter her sexual orientation. While there, Megan meets a rebellious and unashamed teen lesbian. Though Megan still feels confused, she starts having feelings for Graham.
This is badly written because it does not establish that Graham is the unashamed teen lesbian.
Is the unashamed teen lesbian.
Until they say it in that last sentence. So yes. I think this is also just as good as writing our own synopsis because we can make fun of other people's as well.
Yes,
like,
yeah.
We can either write our own or make fun of other people's. Either way, it's good content. Yeah, so this movie... I think I watched it for the first time, I want to say 2 years ago. I think it was in 2020. Maybe during peak pandemic time when everyone was just watching like two movies a day. At least I was. Like I felt like it, I think it was one of those.
Being us.
Everyone being me and you. Let's see. I'll go to when I reviewed it. June 20th, 2020. So right in that peak COVID time,
yeah.
You know. So I had seen it then, and I really liked it then, and I recommended it to a few people who have watched it since and liked it. And I think you probably knew about this before I even told you about it, but I think I've told you a couple times that you should watch this. So
yeah, you've told me multiple times to watch it, and we almost watched it that one time we were in Providence.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we did. But we ended up watching Thing from a factory behind a field.
Across the field. Through at your grandma's house, over the river and through the woods.
Oh, my goodness. But yeah, I think this is just a really fun movie. I really like satirical movies like this that are pretty low budget, pretty short, too. Like, very tight narrative.
It's 80 minutes.
Yeah, 80 minutes. And I like these ones, too, where the sitcoms, not sitcoms, where, like, satires have a big ensemble cast of, like, a lot of unknown people. Sometimes I feel like, you know, you get, like, the Adam McKay satires, and those just feel, like, so annoying, you know? Because it's, like, when you have all these, like, really rich people doing the satire, like, telling you how bad of a person you are sometimes, it's just not as cool. Like, I'd rather learn it from these people that I've never seen, and I think... Also, like, when they're less experienced actors, it might give them more, like, ability to feel like they can kind of go a little more off the rails with it because you don't have, like, any connotation to them. I don't know. It just is, like, a lot of things that I appreciate in movies just on a base level. But then I also really like the story, and I think it's a really cool representation of the subject matter while, like, in approaching it from, like, a really, like, dark comedy angle. So... one of my favorites. I wish they would release this on Criterion. That'd be awesome because I feel like there's not like a really good release of it right now. So that'd be cool.
Yeah, I could see them doing a release of this for sure. Mm.
What did you think about this one?
Yeah, I mean, it pretty much was exactly what I expected it to be. Mm-hmm. It hit all my expectations. I thought it was good. I thought it was really funny. I thought that it looked good, too. Like, I thought, in that aspect, like, it wasn't just the screenplay that was funny. Like, it was all the kind of, like, physical acting and physical comedy of it. And then, like, the costuming and, like, set of the, I guess, camp or whatever was pretty funny. And, like, it just added to the comedic appeal of it. Especially the, like, outfits that they had to wear.
So funny.
It really cracked me up.
Yes.
The like logo for the place, like the True Directions logo, was really funny. Yeah, I think it just works really well when you have characters that you can really like turn into major like caricatures of something,
mm-hmm.
and have it still be funny, because I think sometimes with stuff like this, when you make caricatures, they can be too over the top. But I think with the way everything else works in this, it meshes well,
mm-hmm.
because they kind of balance that over the top with like the costuming choices,
yeah,
and like kind of these other exaggerated like things, like the title cards, even doing mm-hmm. stuff like that sort yeah, of fills like out the whole the rest
thing
of it.
The whole thing feels over the top, so the caricatures don't feel like reductions. It's like the whole thing feels like overly
yeah like
simplistic.
It all balances really well,
yeah, like they're being really in your face about with like the pink and the blue usage and like how that's supposed to, they use that apparently like as very intentionally, obviously, to represent like the artificiality of heteronormativity. That's like what they said on Wikipedia, which I thought was a very wordy way of saying it, but sure. And I think having it short too really helps, like the quick pace. You don't really like have a ton of time to like, the characters aren't meant to be really deep developed characters, and because it's short, like it just works. Like you don't really, you're not sitting there with them for long stretches of time, and it's like, okay, this person's getting a little, obviously very shallow, like with no depth to them. Like most people just have like a little bit of scene here, a little bit of a scene there. And so because you have it in such short bursts, it ends up not being an issue. And I think that was like the main thing people didn't understand when it came out, that like they didn't get the satire nature of it as much. That seemed like what most of the reviews were talking, like they didn't really get that it was supposed to be a satire, which I just don't understand, like how you think this is not a, like it's obviously yeah. so like so such like a funny over the top representation. Like I don't know why they thought that it was a straightforward movie, because it's, I think from the beginning, like from like the slow motion montages of like the cheerleaders, it's like obvious that it's a, has a very distinct
yeah
tone
if
it
were
to
if it were realistic, like they would probably be like beating the shit out of these gay people, so
yeah. And also like
it would be a lot more traumatizing, not just like
yes
I don't know
not like RuPaul like playing football with the kids in the in the woods.
Yeah, like the chopping the wood.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
That was so funny. Yeah, it wouldn't be that for sure. It would be like beating people over the head with a Bible.
Or like, yeah, a lot more like just like Bible study stuff than like cleaning a rug, which is just, the cleaning the rug is just more fun to film. So like, why would you film a Bible study when you can film people like changing a fake doll's diaper? Like,
yeah.
It's just funnier. Yeah, and I really like to, like the level of diversity in the cast as well. Like they said that was like very conscious choice to like have a lot of diversity, and like all the characters were intended to be the races that they were cast at from the beginning, like when it was written. And so I think that is really cool too, to see in such a like a low budget movie that they're still making all those efforts to really do that, because it was only a $1 million budget, which is like not a lot of money for 1999. So I think it just feels very authentic when you watch it, and like the people that are making it really care about the story and really care about like even the people that they're making it with. So I really like just the overall feeling that the movie has as well. So it feels like a good vibes going on when you're watching it. Like there's not any negativity in the story. It's very earnest.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Anything that like stuck out to you, like any scenes or any characters that you thought wanted to mention?
I liked that they characterized all the side characters too. That like it felt like there was a bit of a plot, you know, line mm-hmm. for some mm-hmm. of the other characters too. Like even though it was such a short movie, like you felt things for the side characters as well, which I feel like isn't always the case in a movie like this. Like most of it would just focus on the main two. But I felt they did a good job of like, for such a short movie, like including characters and giving them actual like personalities and stuff, which I think can be hard to do when you have like, cause there's quite a few different side characters, but they made them all seem interesting and like actually have kind of a purpose in the plot, I felt like.
Yeah. And they all like have a beginning, middle, end, and you can like see where they are at the beginning of the movie and how they get to the point where they are at the end.
Like, even like how, the stuff with, like, the two guys, like, who...
Yeah, that's great.
I felt like they had distinct personalities. Like, they weren't just, you know, like, characters that were there that, like...
Yeah.
You know, like, it actually felt like they served a purpose, and then that, like, the characters were written with that purpose. So I feel like it just goes to show the intentionality of the screenplay, and kind of, like, everything that went into this was very clearly, like, planned out, and, like, actually that was what, like, you know, benefited the end product.
Right. They're not, like, just there to, like, have a funny scene or something. Like, I think every character feels distinct, and... I like how some of them, too, like, it's not all a happy ending for everyone. Like, not everyone ends up, like, running away at the end. Like, I think it's more interesting to have some of those characters, quote-unquote, like, graduate. Like, that's what
they're doing, because I think, like you'd want, like, in an ideal ending of the movie, you would think, like, they would all be like, let's go.
Yeah, they'd, like, blow up the house or whatever.
Yeah, like, all the other kids go with them, but, like, it's only Graham that goes with them, so.
Yeah, I think it's, like, I don't know, like, a very realistic portrayal of in a movie that's all very unrealistic feeling, you know? Like, even though the movie, it's on the surface, is unrealistic and elevated, like, the truths of what happens in the story are very real to life. Like, not everything is 100% great in the end, and they'll probably still continue doing this program. Like, no one takes down the program at the end. Like, it's just really that our main characters get away, but, like, nothing really changes about, like, the villains, I guess, of the story.
Yeah, homophobia still exists.
Homophobia still reigns supreme. Yeah, I think what's funny is that this originally received an NC-17 rating, and they had to, like, trim, like, two scenes to get it down to R.
Oh, that's kind of crazy.
But it's like, I feel like there's barely anything in this movie where, and, like, this,
unless
the stuff,
like,
that you look up that they
graphic sexy.
No,
like,
this there wasn't. But the stuff that you look up that they have to cut is nothing.
I don't even understand. Like, honestly, I thought this was PG-13. Not gonna lie. Like,
no. And the stuff, if you look on Wikipedia, like, the three scenes that they had to cut are, like, nothing that is, like, inconsequential at all. Like, it's not, like, a big, like, sex scene. So it's also, I think,
sounds
you feel the 1999 of it coming.
Homophobic to me.
Yeah, I think it's, like, 24 years ago. Definitely a very bold, bold movie to make for a lot of these, like, young stars and young director. So I really, like, appreciate people that, like, just decide to make what they want to make, even though obviously it's not the most commercial thing at the time. What's funny, too, is that, you know, this is the second week in a row we've talked about Dante Bosco on the pod. Rufio.
Is it really?
Yeah, because we had Rufio last
That's
week.
That's so funny. You know what?
I forgot. Yeah. Until I watched this movie, I was like, oh, right, Rufio's in this movie, too.
That's so funny. He's probably my most watched actor this year, then.
Probably. That's probably true. And I think he's pretty good in this movie, too. Like, I like his character in this one. I think it's, I don't know. We're not really worrying about spoilers, so whatever. I like how it, like, you think he's gone, and then he comes back at the end. Like, it's a fun.
I've watched two films with him this year. He is my most watched this year so far. Tied with BJ Ward, who I guess voices a character in the two Scooby-Doo movies that I watched.
Oh, BJ Ward and Don and him are battling it out for the top spot. So I guess we'll see who comes out on top.
Yeah, I think she voices Velma, if I remember
trying
correctly.
To think. Oh, Velma, another hot topic in the film world right now that we will not touch on.
No.
I think thoughts after rewatching it was just, it's a very easy to watch movie that has a lot of like really enjoyable moments that I think you can look forward to, but it's not like in a good way. Like, it's not like a laugh out loud comedy. I just think it's something that's like nice and it's funny to watch and it's like comical to see other situations, but it's not like I'm watching it to laugh out loud. But I think for some movies that's like exactly what I want. I think it's just a very well-made satire, and I most likely will I'll watch it again in the future for sure. I think it's a
like it feels like one that when you rewatch it, like you can catch some of the other things because they put a lot of like little clever innuendos across the movie. But I feel like you don't get like there were quite a few that I noticed, but I feel like there's probably a lot more. It seems like they were really clever in the way that they made this movie. So I think there's probably a lot of other creative elements you could catch upon rewatches.
Yeah, and what something that I thought was interesting was, so Mary Brown, the germophobic nature of her was supposed to represent, like, the AIDS paranoia of the time.
Oh, okay,
and, like, how, in, like, her, the clean, ordered world, very filled with, like, plastic flowers, PVC outfits, so it's, like, a very artificial feeling environment. So, like, you were, like, that, there's a lot of, like, choices made with the characters in the set design that I think go beyond even what the characters are what is written in the screenplay. So it was one of those two where I think it's a very, the whole of the movie tells a story rather than just what's on the page. So like, I think it'd be harder to tell the story in like, if it was a book, because I think the look of the movie and the set design and everything do so much to also sell you on the ideas. Yeah, I think it's really cool that the movie got made, and I'm glad that it has more of a cult following now. And again, let's hope it gets released on Criterion. I think that'd be a great release. Love
it. Yeah, I could honestly, I could, because it's been on the channel before, right?
Yeah, that's when where I watched it first. So they definitely are aware.
I definitely think it is one that I could see them doing.
I feel like the cover could be so cool, too. Like, I feel like this could be such a cool cover for this movie. I don't know what they'd make, but it could be awesome.
Yeah, I this is one I would definitely buy.
I think it's just a really cool movie to have in your collection too, like to pull out, because it's one that a lot of people might not have heard of, but it feels very like a quality film. So I think it's like a cool one you can introduce to people as well. Like, oh, this is a fun movie that you'll enjoy. Like, it's not a weird like indie like art house pick, you know. Like, I think it has a lot of commercial appeal.
It kind
appeal.
Of is, but I do think it also, but I think, has a commercial appeal,
right? Like, it is indie wasn't there, it is indie, but it's not like a very like weird and art housey where like you can't follow the story. Like, it's very straightforward in what it's trying to do. So I think like you could like compare it to like Juno, I guess. Like, if someone's like, yeah, you like these little quirky type of movies, you might like this one too. Like, it's, but a lot of people wouldn't have heard it. So I think, yeah, it's just one of those good ones to pull out if you want to look like you have, like you're cool and you have some good movie suggestions. Like, why don't you try this movie, you know? Yeah, I'm glad you liked it. Cool. I mean, I was pretty sure you would. So
yeah,
I'm
just glad it's definitely one right up my alley.
And it's also like, it's not very, I mean, I don't want to speak for everyone, obviously, but sure. I think the way that they do it, it doesn't feel like it could be as triggering as like other movies about the same subject matter could be. Like, I feel like they do a good job like really balancing out the parts that could be a little bit more of like a traumatizing thing, you know. Like, there's other movies that I think could, you wouldn't want to watch if this hits home with you, the subject. So I like that they kind of approach it in a bit more of like a not as intense triggering manner. So
yeah.
Let's go to an ad break quick then. And when we come back, we'll be talking about another, iconic gay couple in The Odd Couple.
And we're back.
Now we are actually in 1968. So finally, my favorite year. I don't know what that was. I don't know what that was.
Okay. The so Odd Couple. This is The Odd Couple. Many people have probably seen this or are familiar with it.
Familiar, because it was a play, right? This is like from my little research. Like, it was a play, then they made the movie.
Yeah, there's honestly not a ton of info on this movie, not going to lie.
That's interesting, because I feel like it was pretty popular, right? So it's interesting.
Yes, it was. I guess there's just not like a ton of like production history surrounding it. Do you want to read the Synopsis?
Synopsis. Yes, I liked this one because it had some good alliteration as well.
Ooh,
so.
We do love alliteration on this
Cinema Swap
podcast. I was trying to come up with a word that went with podcast.
On this perfect podcast.
This perfect, preppy, pretentious podcast.
When Fussy Felix becomes suicidal over his impending divorce, he accepts an offer to move in with his best friend, Messy Oscar. The Messy Oscar I thought was funny, too.
I feel like it should be an O. Ostentatious Oscar.
Okay, so Felix drives Oscar crazy with his obsession over his soon-to-be ex. Oscar tries to get him out of his funk by arranging a double date with two wacky British neighbors, Cecily and Gwendolyn. But when the plan backfires and Felix grows even more despondent, his friendship with Messy Oscar is put up to the test.
Ostentatious Oscar.
I put in the messy on the second one. So it's a pretty straightforward story.
Yeah,
like
it's
definitely, once you get like to the main part of the narrative, like it's very obvious. But I feel like it was probably more interesting for the time, and it's something that has more
third highest grossing film of the year it came out.
Yeah, so like it was a play, and then it was this movie, then they made this sitcom, and then they made a sequel as well to this movie that did really bad, but technically it's still, they made it, so it's part of the history.
Yes, and Walter Matthau played the role in the Broadway show as well.
Okay.
So he played Oscar in the Broadway show, but
okay.
not what's his name? Jack Lemmon.
He was not.
Okay, but I do have I have a question for you.
Okay.
You may be able to guess this because it's some pretty big name people. But I was going to have you try to guess who they almost cast to play these roles. There was someone that they almost cast to play Felix, and this actually kind of surprised me, because I was like,
1960, am I allowed to look at like big 1960s actors? Like,
sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like I have an idea for that one.
So there's two big name people that were, well, actually there's three big name people. But I think there's two, like, I definitely would not have guessed one of these people.
Is
but
Peter,
I think,
Peter Sellers for
No,
for Felix?
That's a good guess, though, actually.
I was like, okay. So there's two people other people that could have been Felix?
Uh-huh. Well, there's three, but two that I think you would be able to guess.
Henry Fonda?
No, that's a good option, though.
Was Burt Lancaster for Oscar? Because I feel like that also would be a good Oscar.
No, but Burt Lancaster would make a good Oscar.
Are you freaking kidding me? What about that? Okay, this is the guy in Psycho, the Martin Balsam. He looks like just like Jack Lemmon.
Think of like, I mean, these are like big name people. People that every household knows
is,
their name.
Is Cary Grant one of the people?
No,
he would be a good
Oscar, though.
But that's what I was thinking. Like, he's could have done that. Steve McQueen was technically still alive.
Bigger household name.
Frank Sinatra?
Yes, Frank Sinatra.
Okay, thank God.
Almost
finally.
Got the role of Felix. Do you want to know the other one, or do you want to try to guess it?
I'll do the other one for Felix, and I'll guess Oscar. So what's the other one for Felix?
So the two other people that were considered for Felix, apart from Frank Sinatra, was Tony Randall, who later played him in the TV series, Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, Dick Van Dyke would have been a good one.
Yeah,
that
he's
would have
the
been
other
a good
big
one.
Name I was talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, do you want to guess the one for Oscar?
Paul
There's
Newman?
No, that would be a fun one, though. So there's technically three, one of whom went and played, who played him
on
the Broadway show.
Yeah, yeah. Sean Connery?
With Tony Randall. So Tony Randall played Felix in the TV series. And then this one of the other people played him on the Broadway show and in the TV series.
Oh, my goodness. Is Sean Connery him?
No, that would be fun though.
Dang it. Give me
one
a
of
hint.
Them did star in a movie with Paul Newman.
Oh, this is not gonna help me.
could be anyone. Here, wait, let me look at
I feel like
This person would definitely come up if you're looking up lists of like 1960s actors. But he's also like someone who, this person is someone who did a lot of things as himself rather than, like he did act a lot, but he
but
also
it was like kind of like the Frank Sinatra thing where it's like.
Yeah, like he had his own show at one point.
Dick Clark?
No, not quite as, I mean, I guess he is popular too, but not as.
I don't know. I'm not good at hints. This is not for me either. I'm pretty bad at this. Okay, who is it?
Jackie Gleason.
Okay, all right.
So he was going to do it with Frank Sinatra if they did that. And then the other person was Jack Klugman, who I'm not really familiar with.
No, never heard of him.
But he was the one who did the Broadway and the TV. And then the other main one that was considered was Mickey Rooney.
Oh.
For Oscar.
Oh. I feel like I really like the casting of Oscar. Like, I think that was a good choice, having the stage presence there. And I think that you can really feel that.
Yeah,
and
I think
Jack
they both
Lemmon,
had really
think,
good chemistry, too.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, the play completely takes place in the apartment.
Yeah, I figured, yeah.
But they added, so they kept all those scenes exactly the same.
What is up with Jack Lemmon, like, being obsessed with apartments? My guy needs to get out of the house.
But they added the, like, external scenes were never in the play. Like, the scene.
The opening.
And then the walking around in New York, the different times. And then the baseball stadium scene. I have a fun fact for you, because I thought this was fun. They shot that right before a real game. So, they did it in the stadium with all the people there and stuff.
Oh, that'd be fun.
For the Mets and against the Pirates. And so they asked Roberto Clemente to hit the triple play that Oscar doesn't watch. And he was like, no, I will not do that. And so then they had Bill Mazeroski took his place and did it. Yeah, no, I think that would be such a fun thing to do,
but I guess he
just was too good to.
Yeah, and then he saw the box office and he was like, "Dang, I should have asked for a cut." I think the play aspect I definitely picked up on, like,
yeah, for sure.
Halfway, like, I was like, "Okay, I can definitely see the play part here." Like the beginning, I think they do a good job of making it like the movie adaption, but I think they could have maybe done a little bit more, but it's also like, I don't think if unless they drastically changed the story, I don't think they could have done a ton more. That
yeah, I
kind of want to
see like a play version of this live, because I think it would be really funny.
I think, and I feel like there's a lot of cool things that like you could play off the audience with, like, because they could just keep going with some of these rants. Like,
sure.
Like, there's so many parts. I'm sure that people on the stage, they improv this a ton. So why did you pick this movie for me to watch?
So I watched this last year for the first time, because I think it was just like on Paramount or something. And I was like, oh, funny. I don't remember exactly why. I probably was like looking up like films that have gay subtext or something. And that was, but I just remember it being on Paramount or like leaving Paramount. And so I watched it and I thought it was really funny. And then when I think I had told you at that point that you should watch it because it was really funny. And then you added it to your watch list then when I watched it, assuming. And then
I think
it was your watch list.
I had so much to my watch list, I will say.
But I'm assuming that was why it was in your watch list.
But this is why I add stuff to my watch list, because sometimes I forget what I add, you know? And I don't
know. No, but I just thought it seemed like one that, like, we needed some comedy now in this month, but it also
in this life, in this world.
Yeah, I thought it would be one that you would find funny, like, because there's some pretty great comedic sequences in this, for sure. Like, the whole first, like, 20 minutes of the movie flow so well. Like, it's such a great, like, opening, like, all the stuff with the poker and him, and then, like, them trying
to get back to his wife at 12 a.m. He's got to get
back. Yeah, get him to not jump out the window and stuff. Like, it's just so funny to me.
Definitely. Yeah, I think, and I love The Apartment, so that's also a big win. So I think, like, he's a really fun actor to watch. Yeah, I thought it was really funny. Yeah, I thought there were some great scenes. And I really just liked, mostly the best part for me was watching, like, their chemistry together.
Yeah,
like,
they're just so good together.
When it's just them two, I think it's, like, the most funny. I mean, I like the date thing, too. Like, that's a funny scene. But I think they just play off of each other so well. And I would love to see some of these deleted scenes from this movie. Like,
the scene where they're both just, like, kind of yelling at each other when they're, like, everything sort of bubbles over. And he, like, goes to the bedroom and he's, like, starts yelling at him. And Oscar starts having the breakdown. And then he's, like... oh, don't step on the bathroom floor. Like, it just is so... the way that they work together is just so funny. Like,
yes.
Yeah, I think that that is what sells this movie for sure, is their performances.
And I think it's... you can see, like, both their sides as well. Like, you can see, like... I feel like, obviously, Felix is, like, doing a lot of, like, really nice things for him, you know? Like, but I also, like, he can be really annoying. So I feel like... it's like they do a good job of you being able to, like, see both of their sides.
Yeah, and then
like,
you can also get annoyed with Oscar for being like, bro.
Yeah, and it's like, brother, sit, take it down. Don't throw the spaghetti on the wall. Like, settle down there. So
they
the
whole time you're thinking, like, man, these guys need, like, couple therapy.
Couple therapy, like, yeah. That's what it feels like.
Go to marriage counseling, please.
Yeah. And so that was my favorite part. I love just watching them together. I think what's interesting is it really does, like, I can 100% get why they made a sitcom, because it feels a lot like a pilot for a very long pilot for a show. Like, it feels like that when the movie ends, I was like, wait, that's it? Like, there's nothing, like, it feels like there should be more story. And so I feel like if I had watched this in 68, and I was in charge of a TV company, I would also be like, we have to make this into a show. Because there's so much obvious episodes you can get from this. Like, it's a very limitless idea. And obviously then went to inspire things like Seinfeld and Friends, of, like, shows that are also based about people that are friends in apartments. Like, it's, I think, I'm assuming was a pretty influential in that way. Like,
yeah,
just that idea.
I haven't seen any of the show.
I haven't either.
It's funny because when I put it on, I had it on today in the living room, and my mom, like, came in and I was like, oh, have you seen this? And she's like, oh, I've seen, like, episodes. And I was like, no, this isn't the show. It's, like, the movie. But
yeah, well, because my dad watched a little bit of it with me, and he knew the show, but he didn't know it was a movie. So I feel like a lot of people maybe the show became more popular as time went on than the movie, or, like, more well-known.
Yeah.
So it's interesting how that works. But like I said, yeah, I think it's just a no-brainer that they made this into a TV show. Because I feel like I would have liked, even, like, when the story ended, like I said, like, I would have liked a little bit more. Like, I think it could keep going forever. Like, they figured out a good way to close it out. But I definitely would have liked to see just more scenes of them in the apartment together fighting about, like, Lysol cleaning spray and stuff. My biggest for me, the thing I wish, like, I did like the first 20 minutes, but I feel like it was, like, then another 20 minutes for them to actually, like, start to get into the story. So I feel like that was my, where it's like, I could have been a little tighter, like, after, like, once he decides to stay at the apartment, then they, like, go on a whole walk into the town. And they, like, go to a restaurant and they get ice. Like, I feel like I just needed them to get into the thing faster. Into, like, them being together. But maybe, like, put those scenes after that. Like, I just get them in together and then we have be able to, like, develop the downfall a little bit more. So we can see maybe some of them, like, getting along and then feel the slow, like, descent into, like, all right, Felix getting a little crazy now. Because I would like to keep the scene of him at the restaurant, like, clearing his nasal passages, because that was the hardest I laughed in the movie. I think that was so funny. It was hilarious. So, like, if they had just been like, all right, why would we stay together? And then that would be, like, 25 minutes in. And then I think it would have just felt more, like, the pacing would have worked a little bit better.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
But once it got into the story, like, I really did have a great time. And I liked, too, it was interesting how you could really tell the play structure, because they had a lot of very long segments where it was like it was really just the main thing at the with him, like, cleaning the Lysol with the poker cards. Like, that was like the first big thing, and then you had the thing with, like, the date, and then you had the thing with
the dinner,
the dinner and the date, and then the thing being kicked out. Like, there was a lot of things where it was just it was just like this 2 days, like this moment in this 2 week cycle. So I thought that was interesting too, where it was obviously very taken from the play, where, like,
yeah,
even though we could show you multiple days of their life in the movie, because we can cut a lot more, we're just going to show you this main sequences. Event that took place, which is, like, kind of culminates all of, like, the experiences. If they had shown you just, like, 5 minutes from every day, it's more, maybe it's better. Yeah, it works better with a story, like, where it's like 30 minutes of a day.
Yeah, it's almost like they did, like, multiple TV episodes.
Yeah, that's what, yeah, it really definitely felt like that, where, like, the first 40 minutes with it, like, the pilot, and then you have, like, the poker game and stuff, and then you have the dinner. Like, it felt like it could be, like, you could cut it up into, like, a little
mini
series.
Which makes sense with, like, a play. Like, if you're splitting it into acts and stuff, like, it definitely follows that structure more than, like, a film structure, for sure.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point, that, like, you could easily cut this up into a 4 or 5 episode miniseries. And I think it could still...
Someone should reboot this. I feel like we need an Odd Couple reboot.
That would be great. I would love it.
Who would you cast?
Oh my gosh. That is a great question. Oh, man.
I have to, like, I can't remember.
I gotta think.
I have to, like, look up actors.
And it's gotta be, oh, George Clooney as Oscar.
Okay, that could be good.
That would be one of my main casting choices. Jude Law as Felix would be really funny.
Okay, that would be funny.
I feel like you have to have the height, too. Like, that height difference between, like, Oscar and Felix, I think, really helps as well. So I feel like that would work, too, if it was those two.
I'm looking at a list of actors.
Well, it's hard because I also feel like I know a lot of younger actors' names more. So but it has to be old, like I think, like, 40s or 50s, I would say. Like, late 40s, early 40s for Felix, and then early 50s for Oscar is what I kind of was thinking about their characters, like, their ages.
Adam Sandler.
Oh my gosh. Adam Sandler could be part of the poker game. Like, he could be, like, the Piglet guy. You know, the guy that plays Piglet? Like, he could play that guy.
Owen Wilson
and Vince Vaughn in The Odd Couple.
Oh my god, I don't want to see
Vince Vaughn. I think, not now, but if they had made this, like, early 2000s, Bill Murray could have played Oscar.
I feel like Jason Bateman could play Oscar.
Jason Bateman would have, but Jason Bateman too young to play Oscar? I feel like he's too young.
He is 54 years old.
He just looks too young, you know? Like, I feel like he looks too young, but maybe I haven't seen him recently. Yeah, I feel if they cut his hair a little, dyed it a little, like, some not fully gray, but so, yeah, I think you're right, because he plays a lot of uptake characters, so I think that. But the thing with it is, it's a hard role because he is, like, it's like a uptight in a loose way. Like, he's uptight about being messy, so it's a very weird, like, combination. You have to be.
What,
like,
about, like, John Hamm?
Oh, John Hamm. Hmm.
I feel like it needs to be someone who is, like, a little bit less known. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, maybe not, like, an A-lister. Maybe, like, a B-lister.
What about Matthew Broderick? Could be
okay,
fun.
Okay, that could be interesting.
That would be a fun, like, comeback, maybe, for him in The Odd Couple rebooted.
I'm trying to think of who, like, an equivalent of Jack Lemmon would be. Maybe, like, Daniel Radcliffe?
Daniel Radcliffe. Daniel Radcliffe
he
and
would
Paul
be
Dano
funny
in The Odd Couple. Daniel Radcliffe would be very
funny. Daniel Radcliffe would be funny. Like, he is he's been doing a lot of those more like comedic, like neurotic type roles. Like, I think he would be
The question is, could he pull off being like a businessman too? Like, I feel like Jack Lemmon also like has a very professional, like, he plays both professional and unprofessional really well.
I think he could.
Like, Daniel Radcliffe sometimes maybe would be too much.
You think he's too too comedic?
Well, I also think Jack Lemmon sometimes in this movie is a little, like, over too much. Like, he could have pulled back.
Okay, so you think Daniel Radcliffe would be too over the top?
I'm not sure. I would need to see a screen test, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
I would call him in, get a screen test, maybe just see where we're at. J.K. Simmons Oscar would be fun.
Oscar. Yeah, interesting.
Hugh Grant, anyone?
Yeah. I feel like he's a little too old, though.
He's also too nice, like, to be either of them.
He also doesn't look like someone who would be into sports. Not gonna lie.
Hugh Jackman?
Like, maybe if he, like, were... He was, like, an announcer for, like, the Great British Bake Off or something, maybe.
You know who... No, okay. You know who they would cast as Felix in this if they actually rebooted it, though? We have to be realistic, too.
I don't know who.
Ryan Reynolds.
They probably would. 100% freaking Ryan Reynolds Will Ferrell movie.
It would be a Ryan Reynolds as like the main star of the movie as Felix. No, that's what they would do.
I don't want it. I don't want it.
That would
they
be awful.
They probably would, honestly.
But that's what I'm saying. Because if they were trying to modernize it too, like, maybe they wouldn't if they were going to set it in the 60s. But I think if they were going to set this in the 2022, it would have to be...
Ryan Reynolds is too manly to be in that role.
No, but they don't care. It's Ryan. That's who they would cast.
I feel
like
they would
the go-to comedy guy.
Yeah, but I feel like they also...
What about Kevin Hart?
Oh my God, I would kill myself. I would be jumping out of the window.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Kevin Hart in The Odd Couple.
What about, like, Jim Parsons? I feel like Hollywood would be more likely to lean, like, Jim Parsons for this kind of role.
Well, especially maybe if they were going to lean more into the gay subtext thing. Like, if they're going to make it more... Which I actually do feel like it was pretty overt in this movie. Like, it was more overt than I thought it would be.
For 1968,
Like, calling each other, like, their wives' names and, like, saying, like, honey.
Well,
wow.
This is, like, right when the Hays Code would have ended, too. So it's kind of, like, pushing some boundaries there, too.
What about,
because the Hays Code ended in 68.
Zac Efron?
I could see it,
honestly. Efron as Felix or as Oscar?
As Felix.
Yeah, I feel like he's not old enough to be Oscar yet. But he could be an interesting Felix. Zac Efron as Felix, and then the Troy Bolton's dad as Oscar.
That would be kind of fire.
That would be
pretty
funny. That would be pretty hilarious.
What about Pedro Pascal as Oscar?
Okay.
And then,
Oscar Isaac as Oscar and Pedro Pascal as Felix. That would be...
About Pedro Pascal as Felix and Nicolas Cage as Oscar?
Hey, they had great chemistry in that movie. Whatever the shit that movie is called. Unbearable Weight, Mass of Talent. They had great chemistry.
They had great chemistry.
So I feel like that might
be...
Who
is that guy that's in...
We have talked about this longer than the movie, I think. This is just a great question.
Who is that guy that's in Ant-Man? The Ant-Man guy?
Paul Rudd?
No. I know.
The old guy? I think he's too old now.
No, the funny guy.
Oh, the funny guy, Michael Pena. Pena.
Yes,
I think is that his name.
He would be good at yes. Him. That's one. Thank you for thinking of him.
You're welcome. I looked.
He
it
would
up,
be.
So I don't think
he would
that,
be
but.
Good in as Felix.
Hmm. Yeah. He
maybe
would be
him
good.
And Pedro Pascal, like him as Felix and Pedro
maybe.
Pascal as Oscar. I think that would be funny.
Chris Evans, maybe either of the roles.
Hmm. Yeah, I would be. I love Chris Evans, so.
I feel like there would be a lot of good opportunities, though, for, like, a Chris Evans character to be
gay?
One of the poker players.
Oh, okay,
like,
sure.
I think they could really round out the poker table with a lot of funny.
Yeah, like big actors. Name cameos would yes. be really funny. What if they did like all Marvel actors?
Like all the original. Chris Evans, Scarlett Johansson,
Jeremy Renner,
like every all and Edward Norton too.
Robert
just
Downey
for funny.
Jr.
What about okay,
Edward Norton would be good as
Edward
Felix.
Oh, he would be good. Either as Felix or Oscar.
As
he could
Felix
play
or
either
Oscar.
One.
He's a great character actor.
Jonathan Majors as Felix.
I would cast Jonathan Majors in anything, honestly.
He's what Creed 3. Isn't he in Creed? He's in Creed 3.
Yeah, I've seen the trailers.
Oh gosh. I think we should outro this with a question of the week that I haven't thought of yet. Which recent movie would you turn into a sitcom?
Yeah, just maybe what movie would you turn into a sitcom?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. What movie would you turn into a sitcom?
I can think of a couple. Let's see. I would like a sitcom of Top Gun Maverick.
Okay.
Of those people, like
just the top. Just the, it's just those... called like Top Gun : Training Mode.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Like,
and it's
like,
just like
it's
all
just
the people,
all the people
Top Gun.
That were in it. Like, you know.
No, but okay. If they made a sitcom, it would be all new people. It would be a whole cast of new people, and
yeah,
every season
I mean,
would be a new batch
as they're
of recruits.
Also, as long as they look,
yeah,
hot,
yeah, yeah.
Then,
but
I
that's
think
what
we're
they that would be, and they would be able to get who is like the one guy in Top Gun, Maverick,
which one?
Like
Glenn Powell, or
no, not
Glenn,
like okay, Tuck. John Hamm. They could
okay.
get John Hamm.
Yeah,
he would be their big pull, like, and maybe
okay.
an Ed Harris cameo, like though, because they were running the place. So I feel
yeah.
like that's. What they would have to do, like they could be like some of the bigger guys. One of them is main character. One of them is a recurring cast member, and then each season get a new batch of recruits.
I think that would sell.
And every season has one episode about either a football or a baseball, something on the beach, some sport on a beach.
Yeah,
baseball on the beach.
I think it would be
snow
awesome.
On the beach featuring Lana Del Rey. Yeah, I think that okay. So we have I think the best answer, but. You guys can come up maybe with the second best answer of what movie would you turn into a sitcom. This is pretty the ends of are your dreams. What am I? The sky is your limit. That is the what I was really trying to think of. So answer that question. Let us know on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or answer on Spotify. There's also a feature there. You can email us. You can go on our website. And we will read all those questions in our next episode, which is finally,
oh, Jesus.
Finally our 2022 wrap up and 2023 vision. So like our yearly roundup review for all of our shareholders. We talk about the year in review. We look ahead to the future of the company to see what changes we're going to make going forward. This is where we talk about our top 10s, movies we liked, or some movies we saw that weren't new last year, but we really liked. Obviously, every year we've done this, it has been, we've had different top 10s, like, 3 months later, once we see more Oscar movies.
Yeah.
So it's definitely
not
a definitive.
I'm definitely going to cram a few movies this week.
Yeah.
I'm not very pleased with my top 10 right now.
But here, it's also like it's like a time capsule of, even though like you have seen some movies since 2022, it is still like your top 10 ranking of the year of what you watched in that year of the year, you know? So I think it's still good to share. And a lot of times your lists have more like recommendations in them, because I think like it's always good to have like some more obscure picks as well. So I think
yeah, and we'll also go through like our like movies that we said we were looking forward to and whether or not we watched them and liked them.
Yes, I'm sure there'll be a lot of disappointments. I feel like there's going to be a lot of ones that we are disappointed in. Because I feel like a lot of the movies I liked this year were not ones I thought I would like or like was looking forward to.
Yeah, so it'll be a fun episode.
And let's be real, like you always do the cramming thing, but none of them really ever really make it very high. I feel like it's like maybe two yeah. of them of like the 20 that you've crammed. So it's yes. like, I don't think it will change that much.
Okay, I will say there are a few that I'm going to be watching this week that I do think I'm pretty positive will be in my top 10, and that's like
all right. So that we can like prioritize the ones that you,
I think
yes, After Sun
is, I'm seeing that on Wednesday. I think it's going to be in my top 10.
Okay, you saw Banshees, which was in your top 10 now, so like yes. that already made it.
Yes, and I think that I'm going to watch Marcel the Shell this week, and I'm hoping that will break the top 10. So I've got a couple that I still need to watch that I've been hopeful, and I think, I don't know, I'm hoping that they'll break the top 10 and make the top 10 a little better. But
and
all
by
the
next
past
week?
Years, all the past years, the my number one movie is like some obscure random movie I watched, and that hasn't happened yet this year.
So you gotta go randomly scrolling on like Netflix or Prime Video. And look for the most random movie you can find and hope that it's one of your favorites.
Yes. Yeah. I think both of the last ones were ones I found, like, scrolling through other people's lists. Like, last year's I found because of Robert Daniels had recommended it. Mm-hmm. And then someone else had ranked the other Morona High. And that was how I had come across that one. So we'll see.
We'll share those. Also, maybe we'll give, like, a quick 2-minute reaction to the Oscar nominations. Because we'll have those by then. So
sure.
We'll if Babylon's in there, we can celebrate. If it's not in there, then we just don't have to talk about it. So, you know, that's what that will be.
Well,
our...
and then we'll also just share kind of what some of our plans are for this year.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
We'll maybe be announcing what our summer series will be.
Oh,
this
yeah.
This summer,
right.
We have, I think we're pretty
locked
in.
I think we got
in.
It. I think we're locked in.
So we'll be sharing what that is, announcing that, and that will be exciting.
Yes. Summer of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Could you imagine?
That? Oh, my gosh. We would go from 19 at place to 18 place. So yeah. It would be really tough. All right. That episode comes out on Tuesday. Other than that, though, I have nothing else to say.
Yeah, I don't think I've got... nothing else to say
yeah,
to you.
Just Babylon for Best Picture. Everyone, cross your fingers and sleep with.
Oh, I haven't seen The Fablemans or Bones and All either.
Okay, those are Fablemans. You gotta see Fablemans.
Bones and All and Fablemans are two movies that I think are gonna be in my top 10 when I see them.
Okay.
I haven't seen either of those, so
we'll be checking back in next week to
but
see.
But I'm not paying $25 to rent. Fablemans. I will
hey,
not
Steven
do
Spielberg
it. Refuse,
needs
so.
Steven Spielberg needs the money. It will go down soon because After Sun just went down.
It's supposed
so
to go
it down soon.
It's supposed to go down in February. That's what
okay.
I read.
So you'll get it before
I'll
the Oscars,
get it before the Oscars, yeah.
Dope. All right. Well, until next time, I'm a cheerleader.
And I'm an odd couple.
No, well, you should have said you're like, and then we're the odd couple.
Oh, okay. Wait. But wait. So you say that you're a cheerleader, and then I'm what? And I'm a homosexual. And we're the odd couple. The odd couple. We're your secondhand film critics, though.
Okay. We could just okay.
I don't know what we're doing. Are we saying and we're the odd couple?
Oh no, you're just saying you're just saying I'm the an odd couple. I'm an odd couple.
Okay.
Just say that and we'll say we're secondhand film critics.
And we're your secondhand film critics.
Oh, wait. Okay. Wait. 1, 2, 3. And we're your secondhand film critics.